Food, water, tools, shelter, medicine, radios, gasoline, precious metals, off-grid power, whiskey, guns, and more guns. Today on the channel, we're going to discuss why most people simply aren't prepared to endure what's coming and are naive to the realities of using firearms for self-defense. Hi folks, Canadian Prepper here, back again with our friend Rod Giltak of the Canadian Coalition for Firearms Rights. This is probably among the most important videos in the series because we're going to be putting all the pieces together today, going into a bit more detail about certain things. So you're absolutely going to want to sit through this one and indeed go back and watch the videos over again and again until you've gotten everything you need to out of them. I'd strongly encourage you to do that. Bookmark this stuff, download it, share it. Hopefully this can become a part of your regular training regimen, and feel free if you have any questions to post them in the comments section below. So Rod, how do you think I did yesterday?
Well, I think you improved dramatically from the morning to the late afternoon, but this is not something that you can learn in a day. This is an ongoing process, and we've got a whole list of little mini analyses of what we did throughout the course and some tips that are really important, some details that you don't want to leave out if you're going to be committed and you want to get from A to B. So we learned a lot about a lot of things in this series. What we're going to talk about are some tips to make sure that the time that you spend and the expensive ammunition that you're expending is not for nothing. You're getting maximum training value out of every round that you fire. So pay attention to the basics. And we talked in at length about the reason why we're doing these drills. And if you find them difficult, like all that positional shooting that we did, taking a knee, taking a seated position, being able to shoot on your back, right? Coming up, keeping your rifle on target. All of those details are important. And even though that was one of the most physical parts of the training, and it's a part that most people would want to avoid because it's demanding, right? It takes energy. Yeah. You got to make sure that you force yourself to do those things because these things are some of the most important components of your abilities in different situations, whether it's competition or even hunting, right? And God forbid anything worse. So really important.
Well, and I think it's a motivation for people who perhaps, like myself, who've added a few pounds since the last time we met. The importance of physical fitness. It's not just, you're not going to always be in the ideal situation where you're just in a fully supported position and you could, take down your deer from 100 yards away in the comfort of your tree stand. Like, there's going to be situations where you have to move, where you have to maybe shoot from a awkward angle and there were some of those positions, in spite of the fact that I'm in relatively good physical condition, that I still struggled with. Particularly the getting up and sitting down. And a lot of those things, it's not so much that I can't do them. It's just that they're not hardwired motor patterns yet. And keeping that gun focused straight while getting up and doing all those things, you're almost like a gimbal. You got to keep the gun on one level and then you're moving your body at the same time. So, just little things like that. Physical fitness definitely goes a long way. So hopefully this motivates more people to take that seriously. We had a bit of a discussion yesterday on the way home about how while firearms are the great equalizer in some ways, there still is great advantages to being physically fit. You might be in a situation where you're carrying a large amount of gear and just the stress of the situation itself is going to be so cardiovascularly inducing that, a lot of people are going to gas out much quicker than they realize.
Next detail is in a lot of the drills that we did, we talked about, fire one round. The reason why we're saying one round a lot of times is because in Canada, we have this limitation for centerfire semi-automatic rifles and shotguns that you have 5-round mags. So if we were in any kind of civilized country, we would have standard capacity magazines because just to throw a dig in, magazine capacity restrictions have no demonstrable relationship to public safety. But nonetheless, that's what we have here. What I would recommend is you always change up the number of rounds. You're going to hear, if you're the one that's shooting, you're going to hear a shoot command from somebody, but you should decide how many rounds you shoot. If you are in a country where you have standard capacity magazines or some more than 5, then if you want to shoot something with 2 rounds or 5 rounds, go ahead and do that. Because if you consistently train firing only one round, that's what you're going to do in a stressful situation. I fire one round and I'm looking for instructions. So you got to incorporate a little bit of your own motive, you know, your own
decision-making.
Yeah, your own decision-making into these situations. Really important. You got to break it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think the more you can randomize the process, the better.
So another thing that we talked about is find someone to train with. That is just as much of an invaluable tool as having steel targets and having nice gear and all the rest of that stuff. If you can train with someone else, even if you're sharing the gear, that external stimulus is so important. We talked about that on the range. You've got to have this external stimulus, because in the real world, you're not deciding what the situation looks like. It never unfolds the way you think it's going to, right? So
is there tools like apps that can act as that person for somebody who doesn't have that, like a randomized beep or something like that?
You can get a shot timer. I don't use shot timers myself, but I'm sure you can get them with all kinds of different features. But a shot timer does work, and you can have the opportunity to measure your reaction time. So that's probably a great tool as well. Ideally, the best thing is that you're training with someone and it's traditionally the same person, so that when you need a break, you just swap places. Now you got your friend yelling shoot commands or go to certain areas or throw somebody in a different position, and you mix up all those commands and you don't know when they're coming. It's just very, very valuable.
And there is that human interaction component, which would be a factor in those situations. So training yourself to the sound of a bell might not be as, unless I'm sure you could probably get apps nowadays that was a person's voice or something like that. But it's cool. I'm going to have to look into that.
Another important point, along with all the other important points we're talking about, is after you've trained a few times, like if you take this to heart and you're like, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to dedicate a month and I'm going to train twice a week for a month. That's 8 sessions, train for 4 hours. I got a partner. I've made my investment in ammunition, all the rest of that stuff. Once you train maybe 2 sessions, go back and watch some of these videos again and figure out what you missed, because there's so much information that we've gone through so quickly just because we're trying to cram as much as we can in the time that we had. You will miss things. You'll miss critical details that are going to help you later, right? Because remember, this is a really broad spectrum of little individual skills, like the threat identification using numbers, threat identification using shapes or colors. We've got movement. We've got, you know, shooting positions. We've got different commands, like listening to commands, you know, that you were using threat as a command to shoot. And then I would say, fire, 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 shoot. And if you shot, that's you didn't listen to the right command. Like you're sorting through so much stuff. Go back and find all the tricks that we've given you in the videos to help you be just absolutely precise. Because what your goal is to be able to physically move in all these different positions, to engage all these different targets accurately and as quickly as possible, and to be discerning. You're never going to shoot a target unless that's the target that you need to engage. And you're going to engage quickly when you need to. Like those are the skills that you're trying to develop, especially if you're going to do something that requires so much responsibility as owning and using a firearm. I think finally, an important detail is to remember why you're doing this training, right? If we're going to be real about things, you're probably never going to be in a gunfight. I've shot, I think I mentioned 150,000 rounds of ammunition, somewhere around there in a 12-year career in training. And I've never been in a gunfight. I probably will never be in one. And that's not the reason that I'm training. I'm training because it would help me in competition. It'll make me a more responsible firearm owner. It'll make my safety unbeatable. Like just the level of safety from someone that's gone through the training that you have on a regular basis isn't comparable in any way to someone that just owns a firearm and goes to the range to blow off a few rounds. They make safety mistakes. I won't say all the time. I don't want to overstate it, but often. So there's a lot of different reasons why you do that. And it's physically demanding. You can have so much fun. I don't know if what you did yesterday was fun, but you can have so much fun while you're building all of these skills out that we're talking about in hunting, anything you can apply these to, and get a really great workout at the same time. Work a lot of muscles you wouldn't normally work in the gym.
Just like a martial art, you can train your entire life and never get in a fight. And you'll ask any sensei, well, why do you waste your time doing this? And it's because a lot of those skills are transferable to other areas of your life. You know, it makes you a better, more responsible person in these other domains of your life that might be completely unrelated. where it just teaches you discipline in so many different areas. It does require a certain amount of physical capability, so it compels you to focus on your physical fitness, mental health wise. You know, you have to be sharp. You have to get your emotions under control, and it's never a bad thing to have more control over your emotions. So, you know, if this sort of training can allow a person to do that, then let's hope you never have to utilize any of these skills in a combative situation. But it still will, and it is a lot of fun. And I mean, I'm not just saying that. It is like, you know, it's a challenge. It's a nice, fun, achievable challenge. And anybody at any level, the thing I like about this is it doesn't matter where you're starting, there's always a drill you can do. So maybe you're not the most physically fit person, you can still train the breathing part. You can still train the, you know, getting the gun up on sight part. You can still train the reaction time part. So you don't have to be, you know, John Wick to be able to do all this stuff. You can jump in at any point and improve from there.
Yeah, and it's a good skill to have, yeah. I think.
Absolutely. All right, guys, I would strongly encourage you to bookmark this series. Please share the videos, especially for people you know who are just getting started in shooting. There's something in these videos for everybody, whether you're a beginner, intermediate, advanced. Yeah, I'm sure that you will get something out of these videos. So be sure to share them with every shooter you know, and let's get the word out on the Canadian Coalition for Firearms Rights. Thanks a lot for having us out here, Rod. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
The best way to support this channel is to support yourself by gearing up at CanadianPreparedness.com, where you'll find high-quality survival gear at the best prices, no junk, and no gimmicks. Use discount code PREPPINGGEAR for 10% off. Don't forget, the strong survive, but the prepared thrive. Stay safe.